Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Misanthropic Detour, live right here on Blog Talk Radio. It has been a long detour. I'm Derek Hutchison, Benton Lawson, all the way across the interweb, sitting there in an undisclosed location.
Tell them where we are.
Yay, that's up to you. You
want to have people might come out here.
You can't get some people coming out there knocking on your door wanting autographs. That's mm-hmm. what it is. People, yep. Hey, for those of you who've listened to Misanthropic Detour all along, you're probably wondering, where have we been? What's that? Really? Did we get a laugh already?
Yes, my daughter is plugged up watching TV.
Oh,
laughing at
it. Hey, we want to thank you for listening to Misanthropic Detour. Was something that was started, I don't know, what was it, Benton, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago? You seem to think it was 5 years ago, but that was
it was like
5 years ago.
Four years ago?
4 years ago. Was it? My God, has it been? No, it hasn't been 4 years.
I'll have to look at the first files. It's
you
been
will.
At least three.
Oh, it's been too long. And as life does, detours ensued, and now it is time for like a Beatles reunion. I'm not sure it's like the Beatles, but definitely like, I don't know, Journey, like Journey getting back together, something like that. I'm not sure what the equivalent would be, but here we are. Misanthropic Detour. For those of you who've never listened, thank you for listening. If you want to give us a call, if we say something that you agree with, don't agree with, give us a call, 1-845-241-9923. You can check us out on our Facebook at A Misanthropic Detour, or if you just really want to yell at us, send us an email so we don't have to hear it online. And all you have to do is email us at amisanthropicdetour@gmail.com. If you don't know how to spell misanthropic, just Google it. I don't know what else to say. I don't want to spell it here online. So Benton, how are you?
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
That's it. That's the end of the pod. No, A Misanthropic Detour started. We started as a podcast because, why did we start, Benton?
Are we going all the way back? Or
yeah, all the way back. All the way back to the beginning, man. back to the good old days.
Nobody probably wants to hear it, but
Are you kidding me? Everybody wants to hear it. People love history.
Yeah, because you and I both ended up in jobs that we weren't necessarily trained for or desired, but yet made the best of it and became friends. Through that.
That we weren't. Okay.
But we found out that all we did was bitch.
Okay.
What had happened to one another. And we're like, ooh.
Wait a second. That's exactly right. But I got to go back just a second because I want to go back to something that you said. And I want you to explain a little bit. We found ourselves in jobs that we were not necessarily trained for. That I'm hoping that you meant we were overqualified for the jobs that we had, not underqualified.
I'm not real sure.
Oh, dude, come on. We were Forrest Gumping it. We mowed lawns.
Yes, we both ended up on a maintenance crew for a Board of Education.
For a Board of Education. That's an excellent way of putting for a board
right.
of education. And we spent the summer. Ben was already there. I came in we spent the summer mowing and weed eating.
Groundskeeping. Yes.
And I got to tell you, it was the best time of my life.
Well, yeah, when we got freaking $5,000 lawnmowers.
Yes.
Those were pretty nice.
Yes. Anyway, that's how it started. And then Bent went on to another job in the school district, and I went on to another job in the school district. And the friendship continued since we were only, 600 yards away from each other.
Not even that.
500 yards?
It's 100 yards.
100 yards? No. You think
from
so?
The park? Yeah, parking lot from the high school to the elementary school, yeah.
100 yards. 100 yards away from each other. We got this grand idea of hold on for a second. Oh, nothing's happening. I've got a fan on the end here that's not able to access the show.
Uh-oh.
That wants to listen. So, you know, this is what happens. You know, the fandom blows up, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. But yeah, that's what happened. We ended up deciding, hey, we have this commonality of a detour in life, and decided, you know, why not do a podcast about it? Because you got to admit, at that time, we were both so chipper and excited about life that we wanted to share it with the entire internet. That's what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And so we did. And then again, life threw you another detour. You're driving down the road and you're like, hey, I got to turn. This is a big giant detour. And moved us more than 100 yards away from each other. About 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Well, so it's 130 for me to get to the Pueblo.
Well, there you go. So
hour and a half from there, and I don't know what it is to you. So
it's
about 3 hours away, probably.
So yeah, it.
But through Al Gore's interweb, mm-hmm. we're able to connect with everyone.
Thank God for Al Gore. Al Gore saved us.
I know.
What happened.
I don't know how you could say anything otherwise.
Yeah.
Other than Al Gore saved us with the interweb.
Yeah. And so we found this thing called Zoom, thanks to COVID.
Oh, wait a minute.
We got all these people. We have all these people to thank. It's like an award show. Thank you, Al Gore. Thank you, COVID-19.
Yeah. Are they selling our data? Zoom sells your data, don't they?
Sure. Absolutely. They're selling everything. Everything right now that we say. Everything.
I'm not sure I'm okay with that.
So, yeah. They're stealing it all. So. We ended up getting back together. We thought, you know what? A misanthropic detour was too important to the American public that we should deprive them, especially as people are beginning to come out of their cocoons because of COVID.
You're 2 hours and 6 minutes away. Sorry, my
2 hours and 6 minutes away.
Yeah.
So we decided, you know what? We're going to start a misanthropic detour backup. I think it's important. This is because I think this is the burning question. Okay. The burning question that everybody who is either new or can't remember it's burning in their mind is what exactly does misanthropic mean? And I think that's important that you define that.
You want me to define it?
Sure, absolutely.
Would you rather Google define it?
No, don't Google it. Okay, I'm going to Google it, and you tell me what you think it means. What does it mean to you, Benton?
Well, it means that you have no desire to associate with any other human being.
And I think that's important that people know that because of the place that we were in. And I think that's exactly why mowing lawns appealed. I don't know if it appealed to us.
It didn't appeal to me. It was a job, and I'm not beneath work. So I did whatever I could get.
I Googled it, man. Okay. So you were right on the head. You hit it right. Disliking humankind and avoiding human society. But what's even better is the sample or the example sentence that they give to you. Are you ready for this one?
Yep.
Quote, a misanthropic drunken loner.
What?
A misanthropic drunken loner. That's
ooh,
that's the example. That's harsh.
I'm that on a daily basis.
So anyway, for those of you who are listening for the very first time, there is the genesis of a misanthropic detour. For those of you who have come here to
well, they don't know exactly. I mean, I lost my job.
Yeah.
Through what I thought was not necessarily anything I had done.
Right.
But and you lost your job through no fault of your own.
Which job? What are you talking about? Which job did I lose?
Well, you lost your congregation.
Oh, you're talking about before.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about at the school district. I was like, dude,
oh, no,
you didn't
no,
lose
no.
your job? That was it. Yes. Yes,
no,
absolutely.
That's
exactly
that started
what started
the ball rolling in this misanthropic detour.
That is exactly right. You went way back. You dug deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what brought on the misanthropy was
both
of us losing our jobs that we had worked so hard to,
exactly.
to develop.
The ones that we were actually qualified for.
Yeah, the ones we were qualified for.
Yeah.
And ended up, you know, cutting grass in the summer because there was a job to do and neither one of us were beneath working.
Exactly. So
turned out to be a lot more fun than we expected.
And now all I can
it just doesn't pay anything.
Exactly. That was the thing. It just didn't pay anything. And now you've moved on to another job and I've moved on to another
job.
I don't even know if you call it a job. So,
well, it is.
Well,
you're earning an income.
Here's the opportunity to put in the plug. That's the thing that we didn't get to do. We didn't, and we'll have to do this. Obviously, we'll have to build the commercial for the Teach Pray Love store on Etsy.com. For anybody who's looking for vintage items, anything you know, 1950s. Hey, do you miss your childhood memories? Etsy.com, go to Teach, Pray, Love, 1989, bam, you'll find all kinds of stuff, and it's unbelievable what we're asking you to pay for your memories. So go to Etsy.com, you'll find all those things. Teach, Pray, Love, 1989. So that's what I do now. That and I spend time with my grandchildren. But because of that, it's it put 2 hours and 6 minutes in between our friendship. And like I said, I don't know if you felt this way, but I had a burning desire that the world could not be without a misanthropic detour. And since I absolutely, this is the only thing that brings me happiness in the world, thought, you know what? I need to do this.
It's not the only
thing. It's not the only thing. That's hyperbole.
It is one thing.
It is one thing. And so what we do on a misanthropic detour is we turn on Blog Talk Radio and we just talk. And
we
so,
catch up.
Yeah. And so here's the caveat. Here is the warning, I guess. I think everything has to have a warning nowadays. So the warning is, and we say it in kind of our description, you're going to hear some things probably that you've always thought but were afraid to say. And who knows where it's going to go. We're going to talk about a number of topics. We're not a news show. We're not a political show, but we talk about news. We talk about politics. We talk about sports. We talk about everything. Most of the things that really probably get under our skin or we just don't understand. But that's what a misanthropic detour is. And we've been on this detour, or at least I've been on this detour for a long time since, you know what? I'm going to put it at 2012. That's when I'm going to put it on. I'm going to put it at 2012. I mean, that's 10 years, man. That's a decade.
Yep. 13 was me. That's when I lost my job.
God, that's even longer. That's got to be upsetting. 13
well, I mean,
years.
I mean, I, you know, I bought a franchise and did that for a year and a half, but
yeah,
it was totally nothing to do with what I was trained to do. It was just, you know, another way to go, but it, you know, it didn't work out and put me somewhere else. But had, you know, had I not had that failure or a non-opportunity to grow my business because of where it was located,
yeah,
wouldn't have put us together either. So,
yeah,
you know,
I had three brain surgeries and that kicked me in the goodies and that was about it, you know. So,
yeah.
So, you know, two different ways of getting to the same point.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
how's the tumor?
It's good. It's good.
That's cool. That's
it,
good.
It's absolutely good. Headaches are gone.
Because you moved to a lower altitude.
Probably.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. This is the problem that happens when you've had three brain surgeries and like pain for 24 hours. When that's gone, you realize how old you really are and how much everything else hurts.
Yep.
That's the bad thing. I realized how old now, you know, I'm not going to blame the three tumors. I'm not going to blame that on, you know, 20 extra pounds or whatever it is, but I'm going to blame that on the altitude. You know,
yeah.
I went from like 8,000. What is it where you're
3,500.
Yeah. To 4,500.
Yeah. Big difference.
That's a big difference. So down here in the land of heat, and there isn't a day that goes by that I do not miss. The weather and the people of the place that I left. And so I guess that adds to the misanthropy.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess it's just one giant bitch fest. That's what this is. There you go. If I had to just crystallize it, that's what a misanthropic detour is. And here's the beauty of it. There isn't a person who's listening. I'm just going to end with that sentence, and it's probably a true statement. There isn't a person who's listening, period. But I'll go on with it, that doesn't experience or hasn't experienced exactly the same thing we're feeling. Everybody right now is, I don't, and here's what I'm going to ask you, Ben, and you give me your personal opinion. We'll just start in on this because so much has happened since Misanthropic Detour, like a pandemic. We'll just throw that in. COVID has set in, and here's the first question I got to ask you. Did you get your vaccination?
Yes.
Good for you. I got mine too.
So, and here's the deal.
I did it for the million. I did it for the $1 million.
Yeah, I didn't do it for that. So the funny thing about everyone's misanthropy,
yeah,
is it's, you know, ours started just because we were bitching about the fact that we ended up where we were.
Exactly. Mowing grass.
Whether it was our fault or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's all those things that happen in life, especially over the last year and a half or so, or 4 years for that matter,
mm-hmm.
that can put you in that state, especially when you turn on the TV and all you see is, you know, people burning cities down.
Right.
But that's just a misanthropic tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the vaccine goes, so my wife has been around, I don't know how many people who've had COVID.
Yep.
Tested positive for COVID. Kids who had COVID.
Yep.
Tested positive for COVID. She's come home every night. She's been vaccinated, but she's come home every night. You know, we're here every day, every night, sleep in the same bed.
Yep.
I've yet to feel a symptom. I've had people I work with test positive for COVID.
Yep.
Stayed out for 2 weeks, come back. Their kids had COVID, came back, you know, stayed home, came back, still never tested, you know, never had any feelings that I was
mm-hmm.
sick. But, you know, I talked to my mom and my dad, talked to my aunt, both, you know, all three are in their early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about going home to visit.
Yep.
And, you know, I was like, you know, I'm not going to get a vaccine unless I have to. And then I thought, I would rather walk up to the gate to get on the airplane and go, yes, I've been vaccinated, here's my card, and not have to deal with all the crap than to stand there and argue with them the facts about COVID.
Exactly. Yep.
And so I, you know, they got Pfizer up here at the Safeway, so I went in, took all of like 4 minutes.
Yep.
Went in, got my shot.
So the Pfizer is the one shot, right?
Nope, that's two.
That's two? Yeah.
Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson is, that's right. That's the...
Yeah, Moderna and Pfizer are two shots.
Yeah. I got the Moderna.
I've heard nothing. Yeah, I've heard nothing about those. My sister had Moderna. My aunt had Moderna. Kaylin's got one Moderna. And I figured my family's had both, so I should be fine. But the other reason I got it is I have, at times, pretty severe asthma.
Yeah. So you had issues. Last year,
I had asthma so bad, it was like 3 months of taking breathing treatments.
No kidding.
Almost every other day. Yeah, it was an issue with construction going on where I work, and you know, us leaving the hangar doors open, and and they were cutting down fields beside us, and all that pollen was coming in. And I thought, you know what? If that's bad, God forbid I get something else and have to deal with that. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. It's free. You know, I'll get the magnets. I'll get the chips in there. They can track me.
Yeah.
Or whatever all the conspiracy.
Absolutely.
You got the
chip of the Antichrist in you. There you go.
Well, you know, I had a couple of crowns put in, so I'm sure I've got some chips in there.
Absolutely.
Too, so.
They know exactly where you are. Probably just overjoyed that they're finding out right now that a misanthropic detour has started back up.
Yeah, not to mention that I'm sure my phone is, they can never get in my phone.
Okay, so I gotta say this. I'm going to jump off of COVID real quick, but I'm going to come back to it. This is a little detour. I got to tell you.
There's some news about COVID today.
I didn't see that today. I haven't looked at the news papers today, but I do want to piggyback on what you're just saying. So my nephew, one of the things that they do for school, he's a senior, just graduated. So, they were in, he really into podcasting, and I've done a few podcasts with him, a few paranormal, podcasts with him, but, they do it for actual school. So, it was English class, I guess, literature class. They were doing Frankenstein. So one of the choices that they get is to, okay, you can do a presentation on, or you can do a podcast with like four guys. So he knows that I have podcast equipment. We've done podcasts before. I said, okay, we'll do a podcast. But him and I had done one before and kind of did this experiment. And I'm telling you, no joke. So what we did was this. We just... We carried our phones and we talked about, we just made mention of things that we didn't even know about.
I know where you're going.
Yep. And I'm going to tell you, it's exactly right. The speaker is on. So here's what we did. My thing was to just talk about lawyers. I need a lawyer.
Right.
I need an accident, need a divorce lawyer. I don't need a divorce lawyer. I just want to make that perfectly clear. But that was the thing. All of a sudden, Facebook, bam, lawyers, I'm not kidding you. They're tracking you on your phone, and I'm leaving it at that. I'm going to go back to COVID.
Well, hang on one second. Let me add to that.
Uh-oh.
We had the same conversation. Now, I don't have any of those apps on my phone. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Instagram. I don't do any social media whatsoever. Okay.
Which makes you a perfect podcast host.
Right.
Nobody can get a hold of you because you're misanthropic. That's
exactly
what it is.
So we're sitting at lunch at work and we're having this exact same conversation about the fact that we see it on the news. People are talking about how they're having a conversation with a friend and then all of a sudden on their phone, that same topic comes up in ad or whatever. So we're sitting there at lunch and we're talking about that exact same thing.
Yep.
On the topic of how your phone listens to you.
Yep.
And so we mentioned one specific subject matter
Yeah.
And no lie, as soon as we all left lunch, we all walked back out into the hangar, and the guy who I was having a conversation with walks back over to me and holds up his phone and says, check this out.
Yep.
And the exact topic we were talking about showed up in an ad on his phone.
Absolutely. And that is absolutely true. It happens. Don't get into this thing. I'm telling you.
But here's the deal. He's got a Facebook app.
Yep.
He's got an Instagram app. You know, he's got kids, and so he's into all that with them. And he's got social media on his phone, which mm-hmm. I don't. So I never see that stuff. But
right.
Sure enough, I was like, dude, there's no way. That's just a bunch of, you know.
Yep.
The sky's falling.
Yep.
Sure enough, there it was. I was like, that's why I don't have it on my phone.
That is exactly. I know that was a detour that we took, but I just wanted to throw that in because people
I
need
thought
to
you
be
were going to UFOs.
Nope, not yet. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that is absolutely true.
Yeah, that's freaky, dude.
The other thing
freaky.
That I want you to do for me, all right? And I think your daughter will probably know about this. It's kind of old now. It's kind of run its course and all of this. But it's something that I want you to try because we tried it down here where I'm at. Another podcast with my nephew. We don't do them anymore. But so here's what I want you to put in your brain. All right. One day, I know you don't have a lot of time off. You don't have a lot of time to think and ruminate upon the intricacies of life. But when you do, here's what I want you to try, because I've always wanted to go up to a place. And I think it might send you just here's what I want you to think about in your head. Randonautica. Okay.
Okay.
Randonautica. Now, it's kind of old, and everybody's going to be like, dude, you're like 5 years behind the time.
Well, that would be perfect.
That would be perfect for us. So here's
that, at 55, that's exactly where I am.
Exactly. So here is the basis of Randonautica. Okay. And I want you to try it where you're at, because I'm so curious.
I'm looking at it.
You download the Randonautica app. Okay.
That's not
going to happen. Have your daughter do it. Okay, she'll do it. So here's what happens. You do this hocus pocus, think about, you know, the idea of think about blah-de-blah-blah. It'll give you instructions, but think about something. Think about the harmony of life, where you'd like to be. It's going to give you coordinates, okay? It's going to give you a random generated coordinate that is supposed to be in tune with this thinking that you have, okay? It's going to match, and it's going to send you someplace. I want you to go to that place and see what it is, see if it matches. You'll see once your daughter downloads the app. You have to try it for me. I've done it down here in La Junta, scared the living piss out of me.
Now you just told everybody where you are.
Yeah. No, I didn't. It just said down here.
You said La Junta.
I did not say La Junta.
You did. You'll hear it when you play it back.
Did I really? Anyway, I tried it down here. You got to try it for me up there. You have to try it. Get your daughter to try it. Randonautica. Do it once for me. Do it like three times because it's real quick. It doesn't send you like 20 miles away. It sends you close. You go there. See if it matches. You got to try that. And that's what happens when a misanthropic detour is offline for like 2 years. Now you do all this. Anyway, I want to get back to COVID real quick. I had my vaccination, and I did the Moderna, did it at Walmart. And I'm trying to think right now of a reasoning why. You know,
why you did it?
Yeah, you know, you gave an eloquent expose of why you did that.
Right, it wasn't eloquent. It's just that if I go home,
I thought it was very eloquent.
my mom and dad are in their 80s, my aunt's in her 80s, and I want to see them all. If I, for some reason,
gave it to them?
If I was a carrier, you know, type A carrier who has no symptoms, and gave it to one of my parents, and my dad gets, you know, my dad has real trouble with pneumonia.
Right.
And he get, you know, he gets it and dies.
Yeah, you'd feel terrible.
Regardless of whether it was me or not, I'd feel terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So I was just like, you know, screw it. I'm going to do it.
I did it for the $1 million. I got to be honest.
I've heard that. That's the second time I've heard that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. So here's what happens. All right. So in, I think it's June through July, 5 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
Each week, everyone who has had at least one over the age of 18, I believe, everybody who has had at least one vaccination is eligible to be drawn for $1 million. They're going to put out 5 weeks in a row.
Says who?
Says the state of Colorado.
What?
Dude, look it up.
I believe you. I haven't heard it. You know me. I don't.
Dude, I don't even know if it's true, but I saw it, and because it was on the internet, I have a tendency to believe it because everything on the internet is true.
Yeah.
So every week, which puts you at like, and I'm not even sure what the number is right now. I don't know how many people have been vaccinated over the age of 18.
Yeah.
Thinking it's better than the lottery. It's a better odd. It's got to be.
Well, for Colorado, yeah.
Yeah. It absolutely. Yeah. It just has to be. So $1 million.
Oh, now we told them what state we live in.
What?
Now we've told them what state we live in.
Dude, I live in Lahana, Colorado, and that's where you can.
Here's my address and my social security.
Yeah, here's
number.
My address and my social security number. You know, if you're looking for to steal money out of my bank account, it's not going to happen because there's nothing.
There's not anything.
There's not anything. No, but I think
here's the misanthropic detour podcast.
Since we haven't discussed it, we haven't talked about it. Here's what I obviously nobody knows what your wife does for a living. We're not going to tell them what she does for a living.
Unless they listen to a previous episode.
Which you should do.
Yes.
Go back and check out the previous podcast, or just become a diehard listener of Misanthropic Detour. You can email us at amisanthropicdetour@gmail.com. My question, how did you handle COVID? It started out. I started out the COVID where you are. I can still remember, and oh God, how do I put this without giving away major information? But my social security number is we probably won't do that, but I can still remember vividly being in the same room as your wife and her saying, you know, I don't know if we're going to come back, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just like it was yesterday.
Yeah, because you used to work for my wife.
Exactly. I used to work for your wife. And I'm thinking, I may be off on the date, but I think it was March 17th of 2020. But I remember that. And then I was still there for a couple more months. And my wife was here in Lahana, and I still remember that. And here's the thing. I don't remember anything else about COVID except for the days that I missed being alone on my birthday. I remember that, Memorial Day. And then, but I remember those days, but out of all of COVID, that's the day that I remember the most. So, you know, you had a job. I went through part of my job, but how did COVID go for you? Not that we're out of it, but it seems to be almost that we're out of it. I don't know. How did COVID go for you?
So from the day that people started talking about it,
which I believe was that day. I truly believe it was that day.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I couldn't tell you, and here's why. Nothing in my life has changed.
Really?
Period.
Really?
So when they started talking about all this bullshit, we were all sitting at work, and the guy who owns the company looks at us, and he's like, look, I can't make you come to work.
Yep.
But I'm coming to work. And we're all like, well, we're all coming to work.
I got to come to work.
We're like, why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, they're putting out all the mandates. And I'm like, well, okay, in the history of the United States, this country has never shut down for anything.
Yep.
Why would this be any different? Yeah, I haven't seen any information that says that if you don't stay home, you're going to be laying on the side of the street trying to crawl to another human being with blood coming out of your eyes and ears and mouth, vomiting profusely.
Yep.
I haven't seen any of that data. Everything I had heard of about
it
was a form of flu.
Yeah, unless you were part of the 0.002 percentage.
Yeah. we all went to work.
Yep.
Nobody wore a mask. We all worked 6 to 50 feet away from each other anyway.
But you were considered essential, weren't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because of what I do.
Yeah,
I
mean, because of what you do, you were considered essential.
So like 3 weeks into it, somebody asked, hey, what do we do if we get pulled over? And I'm like, what do you mean, what do you do if you get pulled over? You tell them you're going to work.
Yeah.
And so what happened was we got a letter. The owner of the company wrote a letter saying, so-and-so is my employee. They're on their way to this destination. They're considered essential workers. This is why they're traveling. And oh my God, for like 7 or 8 months, it was so awesome.
Yeah. Because nobody was on the road.
Nobody was on the road.
Yep.
And then, but here's what's funny. So, and you could tell it was like somebody turned on a switch after that time, so coming from here, getting down the hill, that doesn't give it away.
Yeah.
So from here down the hill, there's nobody. As soon as you hit town.
Yeah.
Depending on where you were, it was like nothing had changed, especially on the east side. Cause we were sitting there one day, this is like, 4 or 5 weeks after they've told everybody to stay home.
Right.
We're coming across the highway and we're like, where the hell are all these people going? I mean, people were everywhere. And I know for a fact, not all of them were essential workers.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, okay, well, this is just weird. And then, as soon as you'd start back up the hill, once you got past 31st or whatever, it was just like, a dead zone.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, people would come in and they're all wearing their mask and we're like, okay, that's weird, but whatever. Cause you had to adhere to all the guidelines.
Uh-huh.
But for us, it was, every day at work. I mean, we generally don't have a lot of people that just come in off the street. So for us, it was just normal. We went to work as normal. We sat around with each other and ate lunch as normal. We, went out, went through the drive through, got lunch, came back as normal. It was just as if nothing changed.
See, and mine was totally, well, I don't know, it was totally different. I can remember 2 days. And it probably tells you exactly where my thinking is. So I remember 2 days. I remember that day that your wife talked to all of us. And I remember my last day of work.
Right.
What I believe is to be March 17th, but I know for sure it was June 8th.
I mean,
that's seared into my head, probably because of the, just the sadness of leaving. I didn't like the job, that's the detour, but loved the people, loved absolutely. I don't know. Here's the weird thing about it. I don't know if this adds to the misanthropy of it or not. But is it possible to just be like, the job's okay, but absolutely love the people I'm working with? Absolutely just loved working with the boss I had. best boss ever had. Just, you know, left that, came down here. I remember that June 8th. I swear, can't remember anything until today. If you were to ask me, how did COVID affect me? You know, you wore a mask to some places, Walmart, whatever. There was a time until my in-laws were vaccinated that we were really careful. Because, you know, you don't want to get, you know, 79, 80-year-old people, just like you were talking about with your parents.
Right.
But other than that.
But well, you have to understand, people don't know where you worked. You were working in an elementary school.
That's exactly right.
So that whole dynamic is different. So, like, for example, for my wife,
yep.
You know, and you as well,
mm-hmm.
y'all's life changed.
Yeah.
Because you had state-mandated guidelines
right.
you had to go by.
That's exactly right.
But for the rest of us, like I remember going into Safeway for months
mm-hmm.
and nobody ever said a word whether you had a mask on or not.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it got a little more strict.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people were like, hey, have you got a mask? And just, nope. Well, you know, next time you come, make sure you bring a mask.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, you did that for a while. And then, like, all of a sudden when the CDC comes out with their new report, I mean, it's like a light switch went off again. All the signs are down. Nobody cares. All the doors are open. Both sets of doors are open at Walmart. So now you can go in and out, which I never understood.
I know. That's exactly what happened down here. They opened up I'm not kidding you. They did that last week.
Yeah, but explain to me how having everybody come in the same and exiting the same door is better than having everybody enter one door and exit another.
I will tell you this. It's easier to keep track of the number that's in the building. That's what it is.
Who cares how many people's in the building?
I know,
here's the thing. If you have 2 people or 10 people, they're all in there picking shit up and putting it back. I mean, stuff up and putting
That's
it back
exactly
down.
You're right.
And nobody's running around watching what you picked up or didn't pick up. And they're all sneezing in their hands and then wiping it on the cart and wiping it all over the cereal boxes and the toilet paper.
If there's anything that just, I can't believe about this, that really upsets me. It doesn't upset me. Well, yeah, maybe it upsets me a little bit. That adds to my misanthropy. That's going to be the line. Adds to my misanthropy. Is the idea that states that, and Colorado was one of them, states that had pretty stringent guidelines, they're going to be credited with these low numbers. And in reality, I don't believe that those low numbers are because of the restrictions that were put on us. You know, here's the thing that I always like. It's post hoc ergo propter hoc. I hate to say that, but I love to say it. After it, therefore, because of it. It's the Latin that says one thing happens because of something that happened before it. And everything's going to get the credit that says we had strict guidelines and therefore our numbers were low. And I just truly believe that it was – yeah, the flu goes around, the COVID goes around, and it happens, and some people get sick, and some people don't. But it's going to be like, okay, it's because we shut the other door at Walmart. That's what it was. Now, here's a question, then I'm going to move on to something else. But it's great to know exactly what you were experiencing to catch up.
I didn't experience much of nothing. I think about COVID about as much as I think about global warming.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got no control over it.
Yeah,
and it doesn't affect me.
I will say this:
the Earth will do whatever it wants to combat it.
I will say this, and this doesn't have anything to do with, COVID was bad, or COVID was good, or we didn't need to wear masks, or we didn't, but we did have, even down here in our small little rural area of Colorado. I had people that I knew who died from COVID. That died COVID related symptoms.
Really?
Yep. I had two that I know of for sure. But it was simply the fact of waited too long, you know, just waited way too long. But yeah, it's been crazy. Now, my last question to you, and it's going to be this, and then we'll move on to something else because I'm dying to get into this. If you think about what we just gone through, and this has basically been March, I'm going to put it at March 17th, 2020. That's just when COVID started for me. Because I still have your wife's words ringing in my ear. But if you go from March, hold on for a second. I just want to do a little update. Okay. Again, there's a sale right there on Teach, Pray, Love, 1989.
Oh my God,
I'm sorry, man. I've got an hour and a half to plug it as much as I want. Okay. So I'm going from then. If you go from March 17th of 2020 to June, what are we at? June 2nd? Are we at June 2nd now?
Are you asking me what today is?
Yeah, man. That's what I'm asking you. June 2nd, 2021.
Let me look at my computer.
I'm telling you, that's what it is.
It's June 2nd.
So if we go from there, the question I have for you is it over? I mean, are we done? Because here's what I feel. I just went to my nephew's graduation, okay? Outdoors. Mm-hmm. And I keep track of exactly what's going on in your town. I know what the graduation was like at your town.
Yes.
Because I still consider it to be my town too.
Yeah, it was stupid.
I know, but it's my town. And I know what we did at my town. I'm not telling you, mine was a COVID-19 fest.
Seriously? And then
it was outside in the football stadium,
right?
And you couldn't have had more people. Unlimited, open to the public. Afterwards, go down on the field, see your graduate. As we made our way down there, there was like, I'm not kidding you, 50 people per square 10 feet. It was a COVID fest and nobody gave a rip.
That's awesome.
So my question is, and of course you got to remember down here in southeastern Colorado, very red. We're very red. We still have Trump signs flying, you know. I don't even know why I said that, but that gives you an idea of the thinking. And
well,
so
that means you're free thinking.
Well, here's the thing. It seemed like COVID was officially over.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, it depends on who wants to keep it around for a while.
Well, we don't want to down here.
Well, we don't either. I mean, up here. So,
yeah, and I think that's important to say. I think
your
county mirrors our county, kind of.
Yeah. Remember not far west of here?
Yep.
There was a small restaurant.
Yeah.
That got in trouble.
Yep.
Because they were letting people come in and they were all eating hamburgers and drinking beer.
Exactly.
And you got to remember, we are at that point, you're almost 9,000 feet, if not 9,000 feet.
Yep.
There's not a whole lot of us out here.
Yep.
There's not a whole lot of COVID coming around out here at 9,000 feet.
What? Wait a second. What does that mean? Does it not survive at altitude?
Well, there's not many people here.
That's exactly right. There you go. Now I understand.
There's not a lot of people who want to live at 9,000 feet where it's freaking cold for 6 months and snow everywhere.
Wait a second. Again, we need to clarify that statement. There's not a lot of people who want to live? Do the people who are there want to live? Or
at 9,000 feet where it's cold all the time.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm one of them. I am absolutely one of them.
I didn't say nobody did.
Well,
it's
you're right.
A lot of us.
You're right. You're right.
A lot of us. But here's the thing.
Yep.
So I can't see in any of the data that this is really any worse for anybody from the age of a newborn to 70 or so years old, that it affects you any worse than the flu or pneumonia.
Yeah.
Now,
and granted, some people get it and some people die.
And they do.
And they do. Just like pneumonia.
But that's from pre-existing conditions.
Just like the exactly. Just like, exactly. You know, just like
so
you were thinking about. You know, with your asthma.
When's the last time you heard of somebody dying from the flu?
You won't
hear it for the next 3 years.
Oh, you won't hear it. You know what?
It won't be attached to COVID.
That's exactly right. And if you look, the flu numbers went down. Anyway, we can get on to all that. There's one thing that I want to pivot to, because
to answer your question.
Yeah.
The flu will never be over as long as somebody's pushing for COVID to still be around.
That's right. Common
sense tells us if you're going to vaccinate everybody, then you might as well quit worrying about the flu or COVID.
Yeah.
So at that point, it just becomes strictly political and how you can control other companies or people.
Just before we move on to something else, and there's something I want to talk to you about, because I haven't had a chance, but just reminiscing and loving the time that I spent and the way that it changed my life of just, you know, having you as a friend and being where you were at. I do remember, you know, I got my Moderna, and you know, with the Moderna, that second shot that you get, they always say, you know, you're going to feel kind of bad. And I did. I felt like the flu was coming on, you know, that second shot. And it brought back an incredible memory of when I was at work, when I worked for your wife. I think this kind of shaped my COVID thinking. My COVID thinking was, okay, I'm going to get the vaccination. But I remember working for your wife, and at one time I got both the A flu and the B flu at the same time. And I'll bet you if you ask your wife, she will remember that time when I was like, dude, I can work. And I had a note from my doctor that said, you know, he's got the A flu and the B flu. He can't come back.
Dude, I remember it.
And here's my thought. I swear to you, this was my thought. If I can make it through the A flu and the B flu at the same time, the percentages says I'm going to make it through COVID. Of course, you don't want to share it with anybody else, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, I wasn't that concerned about it. But here's what I want to pivot to, because I would love to talk to you about this. I haven't had the chance. So my son and I, we do a podcast. It's called the Right Answer Podcast, okay? And when we started this, I had you in mind, okay? So we start off the podcast. We do this and I will have to tell you, I do it with my son and my son-in-law. So this is called the Right Answer Podcast, and I have to get you in on this. And I would love, absolutely love, if you could do this every Thursday night. Every Thursday night we do we try as much as we can every Thursday night. So we go off this idea of John F. Kennedy says, let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. Now, my son is part of it. You know what, dude? I don't even know. I'm thinking it's the same generation as your daughter.
So which one?
The youngest one.
Okay.
Maybe Maybe the other one. I'm not.
Well,
no,
they're 8 years apart.
Okay, so are
they
in?
I think they're still the same generation.
Okay, if they're the same generation, are they generation?
Oh hell, I'll
dude,
look it up.
What generation are we?
We are
Generation X. Generation
Gen X.
So they're Gen Z.
Gen Z, I think.
So obviously,
let me look. They may be. I think they're just millennials.
Oh, they might be millennials. That might be exactly what they are, dude.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. I was supposed to ask my wife. She just walked right past me.
So I think they're millennials. Ask your wife if they're millennials, because
she just walked right by and
she just walked right by you and ignored you.
Yeah, it's all right.
Man, so. Okay, so
she knows we're podcasting. She ain't got time for that.
So obviously,
so Gen X is mid-60s to 1980s. So that's us.
That's us.
Gen Z.
Gen Z is what?
Gen Z. There's Zoomers. Never heard that.
Well, that's what we're doing right now. Zooming.
They succeed millennials.
Okay.
They are mid to late 90s.
Well,
starting birth and in 2010. So,
okay.
That's not either one of mine. That's
okay. That's my son then. My son is 1996.
Yeah. Taylor's 92.
Okay. That's my daughter.
Okay. So that's
my daughter.
That's a millennial.
Okay. So anyway, obviously.
Well, wait a minute. Millennials are known are 1981 and 1996. So that's my oldest daughter.
Okay, so that's my son. Okay, so it's your older daughter.
But that is Gen Z.
But that's not your youngest daughter. Okay.
But that's not my youngest.
No. Okay. Now, see, the whole thing, I've actually forgotten what I was talking about. But
every Thursday.
Thank you. The Right Answer podcast. But you're going to have to give me more than that because I've actually forgotten it. But here's the thing. We talk about and obviously as a millennial or Gen Z or whatever it is, he has different thoughts about things. So we talk about things. And one of the things we try and talk about our whole thing is, like I said, with Kennedy, let us not seek the Democratic answer to the Republican, but the right answer was the idea of where you get your content, where you watch. And, of course, it doesn't apply to you because you're not a Facebook dude.
Right.
You don't get your news from Facebook. It's the whole thing of maybe fake news and whatever. But anyway, we were talking about this new thing, and I'm so curious to see if this wasn't on a list now, and we talked about a list of things, but it just came to mind, and I'm curious of what you think about it. I don't even know if you've heard about it, but it does add to my misanthropy. It adds to my, I think, both of ours idea of saying, come on, man, what are you thinking about? Is this, we talked about this whole idea of this idea of what's getting ready to, if it gets its signatures and gets on the ballot, this whole idea of animal husbandry. Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay, I'm going to explain it to you shortly. We got 30 minutes left, and that's not enough time. But I'm telling you, Benton.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to give it to you, and you tell me what you think, okay? This is our state. And I'm going to – and, you know, I know you love – oh, Benton. I know you absolutely love to go – northeast of where you are. Okay.
What?
Dude, I'm talking about Breckenridge. I'm talking about Breck.
That's west.
Okay. It's west, but
I was fixing to say, what am I going to do out there in the east?
That's okay. I'm talking about Boulder, man. I'm talking about Boulder.
Well, that's still northwest.
That's what I said. So anyway, it's not. So here's the thing coming out of, and I want you to comment on this, and then I'm gonna.
Number one, I don't like Boulder, so everybody knows.
Yep, and I don't either. But here's the thing, okay? So there is a initiative that I'm sure will get enough. I'm sure is going to be on our ballot.
Okay.
This is the thing: animal husbandry. So any livestock that you raise has to live. You cannot kill, slaughter within a quarter of its lifetime. So in other words, a cow must live, I'm going to say, I don't have it in front of me. I wish I did. 4 years. You cannot insert within an animal anything that is not natural, which means you cannot preg check. You cannot, how they are artificially inseminate.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do any of those. You must let your livestock live a quarter of its expected lifetime before you slaughter it.
Okay.
That is coming up. I guarantee you it is coming up on our ballot.
Well, this right here, so I had to look it up. I haven't seen any of this.
Okay.
The Colorado Animal Cruelty Initiative.
Thank you. Thank you.
Actually a campaign to end meat, poultry, and dairy production.
Exactly. Now you got to remember here, okay?
This is all PETA.
I'm speaking from southeastern Colorado. Now, I know that doesn't mean a rip up in Denver and Boulder and maybe even where you're at, but that is huge for us down here. This whole idea of, can you imagine which we haven't even gotten into, the ransomware that just hit the beef industry. Did you see that today?
No.
You saw the ransomware that hit the oil industry, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I heard about it. Yeah.
Okay. It just hit the beef industry today. There's a ransomware on the beef industry. JBS just had to shut down. The largest slaughterhouse in the United States just had to shut down. Because they're negotiating a ransom. So here's the thing. People up in your area are jacked up. You got to fix them. Because what the heck, man? You're killing our industry down here. The only thing we have down here is ranch.
Well, wait, my area. No, that ain't happening here.
Okay. I know it's not happening in your county, but it's happening in your area. And you
north of us.
And you need to be aware of this. This is coming up on our ballot.
Yeah, it ain't going to pass.
Okay. That's what the wolf thing said. That's what the wolf thing said, Benton.
Yeah, but, you know, people don't eat wolves.
No, it's okay, man. But you know what?
Let me rephrase that.
Do you know what the wolves eat?
Yeah, they eat calves.
They eat our cattle.
Yep. Well, they eat everybody's babies of everything.
So here's what I want you to do, man. I want you to get out on the road with one of those spinner signs.
Yeah.
And say, vote no on this when this comes out, because it's very, very important.
I'll put it on the tailgate of my truck.
All right. So here's what I want to pivot to. Pivot one thing, okay?
Okay.
This is very important. Do you have any of the streaming channels?
Well, everything I have is streaming.
Okay. Do you have HBO Max?
No, I just canceled it.
Okay. Anyway.
I have Stars.
Okay. I don't know if you know this or not, but Friends had a reunion.
Yes, I saw that.
Did you see the Friends reunion?
No, I can't watch
it. You can't watch it. I knew you wouldn't be able to. It was very good, by the way.
Was it?
It was very good. So here's what I want to do. So I have Discovery Plus. And so, I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, as people are wont to do in the sharing of streaming, that's all I will say. I have seen this. You gave me a list of different topics. And one of the topics that I do want to hit within the last 25 minutes, because I know this is near and dear to you, tell you how many times I have invoked your name about weaponry and this whole idea. And I probably have done it in an erroneous way. And for that, I apologize. But I do want to talk about, because I just talked about this with an individual, this whole idea of, because, and I don't know if you want to admit it or not, but you are a, you know, as people are, as people judge themselves in their friendships, you are the, you're the weapons guy. Is that correct?
If you say so.
Oh, come on, man. You're not going to get somebody.
I have some knowledge.
Okay, you have some knowledge.
Yes.
So here's what I was talking about with an individual. You had put down on this list of things that we had talked about, and I saw it. It was kind of down further on the list. Was this whole idea of ammunition. And I don't know if it's a sign of the times. I don't know if it is an aberration, but there is an ammo shortage. Is that correct? Now, here's the thing. I think it's important to know. I don't buy ammo, but I'll bet you do.
Well, I don't anymore.
But you used to.
Yeah, there's not any to buy.
Why? That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, and so I'm not 100% sure. If you listen to the people who actually make the ammo,
mm-hmm.
their theory or their answer is there's so many new gun owners. Because they're afraid, you know, Second Amendment rights could be taken away from them. They're all buying guns before you can't buy one. There's so many new gun owners that the supply of ammunition is perhaps 300 to 400 times greater than it used to be. And the state that the production was in was only set for a certain amount of numbers. So because there's so many more, it kind of flooded the market for the need for ammunition. You buy a gun, you obviously want to go shoot it, be proficient with it, so that if you do have to use it to protect yourself, you're not, you know, shooting your neighbors or anybody else. And because of that need,
shoot your neighbor.
Yeah. So because of that need, it's inundated the ammo industry, and they can't make enough. Now, Remington went bankrupt because they got sued.
Why didn't you know that?
Because they own Bushmaster.
Really?
Bushmaster was one of the firearms involved in the mass shooting, so everybody and their brother went after them, and they ended up going bankrupt. So that ammo.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that ammo that was being manufactured by Rivington ceased. And so until they were purchased.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, so until they were purchased, that ammo production stopped. Now, that ammo production is actually back up and running, but it's obviously still not enough for all the new gun owners. And anytime you have an administration who says that, you know, we're going to ban anything, whether it's a rifle they consider to be an assault rifle, which there's no such thing.
Right.
it, you know, I can have an assault pencil.
Right.
But, you know, they just randomly pick whatever they want. It is what it is. It's a rifle. But because they threatened to ban something people wanted, it's like if they came out and said, you know, we're banning toilet paper.
which people felt like they were.
Yep. Or, you know, we're gonna ban socks. You know, everybody and their brother are trying to buy socks. So it's just one of those things. But the supply and demand was so overwhelmed that they couldn't keep up. Now, that's been almost a year. You know, remember the first time this happened was back during the Obama administration, and you could not buy 22 ammunition to save your life.
But let me stop you right there. Is it because of the Obama administration, the Biden administration, or is it because there's a perceived fear of, I don't even know what the perceived fear is. Is it
something being taken away, a right being taken away?
So that the demand supersedes the supply. And so is that why there's a shortage, or is it because of a Biden administration or an Obama administration or the Congress invoking laws or passing laws that prohibits the amount of ammunition? I'm not trying to defend a Biden administration or Obama administration, or is it just a perceived fear that everything that I want is going to be taken away, therefore I buy so much of it that we can't make enough compared to the people who want it? Is that what it is?
It's because of the unrest in the last year and a half and the desire to end or defund a police department.
Yeah.
People fear that no one will protect them. So if you defund a police department and you pick up the phone and dial 911 and there's nobody to come to your house, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I better have as much ammo as I possibly can.
Yeah. So people are like, okay, well, if no one's going to protect me, then I have to protect myself. So I'm going to go out and buy a gun. And then the other side of that is somebody's going, okay, well, if you have one of these guns, we don't think you should be able to have them anymore. And so everybody goes, well, I don't care what you think. That's my right to have that gun. I'm going to get it. Well, when they get it, they need to learn how to shoot it, or they want to learn how to shoot it.
Yeah.
And so they need to buy ammo for that particular gun. So the increase in gun sales is huge for first-time buyers.
Does the increase in gun sales supersede the increase in ammo sales?
The increase in gun sales causes the increase in ammo.
Okay, so it causes it.
Yeah, so if you go buy...
Which is obvious, because if you buy a gun, you need ammo for it.
If you buy a pistol,
yep,
you want to buy four or five boxes to go shoot it and mm-hmm. get familiar with it and perhaps get proficient with it. And I would suggest you buy 400, not four.
Right.
You know, if you ask me my opinion, if you go buy a weapon, you should buy 1,000 rounds of ammo. Why? Because you need to go practice with that.
Right.
It's like if you wanted to go learn to play golf.
So you don't shoot your neighbor.
You should go learn to play golf and go to the driving range and play some golf and
right.
get good at it.
Yeah.
So that, you know, so that you don't
shoot your neighbor.
So you don't not enjoy playing the game.
Right. Okay.
You know, if you buy a car, you need to learn how to drive it. So if you buy a gun, you need to learn how to shoot it. You need to be proficient with it. You need to be safe with it. And you can't do that with two boxes of ammo.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Right.
Most of the people who are quote unquote firearms enthusiasts,
mm-hmm.
especially those who actually compete in shooting sports, whether it's sporting clays, trap, skeet, IPSC, IDPA, these are all shooting games. That's exactly what they are. They're games. You play with a firearm.
Right.
Just so happens you can kill somebody with it. But it's nothing more than target shooting. The only way you get better at anything is to be proficient with that tool.
Sure.
In order for you to play a good game of golf, you got to learn how to use golf clubs.
Yeah.
In order for you to be proficient and accurate with a firearm, you need to practice. You can't do that with two boxes. You need to buy 500 to 1,000 rounds, and you need to go and shoot it often to be comfortable with it. So if the time comes that you do have to use it, you don't freak out and shoot somebody else inadvertently.
So
that's what happens. You know, people go and they're like, okay, well, I want to buy, 300 rounds of ammo so I can practice. Well, all of us who used to be able to just go to Walmart and buy 4 or 5 boxes of ammo, go up here and practice over the weekend, and then go buy another 4 or 5 boxes. You can't do it because there's so many new people to the sport or to the ownership.
And I'm not trying to put you in a box at all.
No.
But is it and this isn't coming from some, leftist point of view or anything, but would it be fair to say that it is a combination of a fear of the administration that – so I guess – I don't know how I'm trying to say it. It's not that the Biden administration is cutting off supply of ammo. It is that the fear of the administration and what they might do that is causing a run, much like toilet paper and during COVID, on ammo. Is that correct or not?
I think it's because both sides, pundits from both sides, are so radical that people are afraid.
It's just a thing of fear.
Of what the decision might be. I mean, it used to be that people would go, we're going to ban guns. Everybody would go, wait a minute. Let's all have a discussion about it. Why do you fear that? Why do you think that? Why should we do that? And then the other side would go, well, you really don't have to. Here's the statistics. Here's what causes most of the deaths in the U.S., blah, blah, blah. People would have a conversation.
Right.
Well, now it's so knee-jerk, you've got people that are like, nope, we got to ban it all.
Yeah.
No discussion. And the other side's like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to do this. No discussion.
Yeah.
And so people are like, shit, what do we do? Neither side will talk to the other. We have no idea if they'll just go in and pass a law and that's it, and we're all screwed, or if anybody will actually sit down like grownups and have a discussion. So I think it's all based on the fear of, like a kid, your parents taking something away from you. You're afraid something's going to get taken away, so I'm going to go out real quick, get me one, get me 5, get me 20. In case they do take one away, I've still got some.
Yeah, and I think that's it. We got 10 minutes left. I can't believe 10 minutes is not enough. 90 minutes is not enough. But I do want to offer this. And here's the thing. You had sent me this list, and I had created my own list. And there's so many things on it.
Save it for another podcast.
Well, here's the thing. That's exactly it. There's so much catching up to do in, how do you catch up in 2 years? But here's what I want you to do, because you offer I'm going to be measured in my words,
Dude, we don't do that.
I know. You offer a unique perspective. That's some wordsmithing right there. A unique perspective. I'm going to invite you, and I don't know if you can do it tomorrow. I don't know if you have free time tomorrow or not.
And we'll see if I'm stuck in an airplane.
Okay. If you, it's the whole thing of, and it may not work for you, but at some point in time, I'm going to push this. The Right Answer podcast that we have, my son, myself, my son-in-law, you would be an incredible fourth voice.
Just tell me what time. I'll do it.
No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work for you.
What do you mean?
Well, my son lives in Texas, and we have to, we have to do the show at 2 o'clock. Or 2 o'clock. We have to do the show at 6 o'clock at night, which doesn't work for you.
Our time?
Our time.
I could make it work. I'll just sit at work and do it from there.
Okay. So here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to give you what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, because you offer. So basically, if you look at the spectrum of politics, you are right center. Would you agree with that? I think it's important, because here's what I say. I think it's important that you know where I sit before you know where I stand. I am right. You are right of me. Do you agree?
I don't know.
No, come on, man.
I think we're pretty even. I don't think
we
I'm
are
right.
Pretty, we are pretty even.
I don't think I'm any more left or right.
Okay, let me change this in the 8 minutes that we have left. Let me change this, and you tell me where I'm at, okay,
right,
on this misanthropic detour that I'm at.
Okay.
I am, no matter how I say it, man, it sounds wrong. You are more, oh, God, I love you, dude, but I am, you are more set in your ways than I am. Is that right? You are older than I am, and therefore more wise. Put it that way.
That's bullshit.
I know. That's bullshit. I don't know how to put it. You are more willing to state your opinion. God, everything I say, man, just sounds bad.
It doesn't sound bad.
It sounds bad for me.
I'm very confident in my conviction.
There you go. And again, I'm going to say wiser than I am.
Wisdom has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, because that's what I get from you. I get wisdom from you.
So here's the deal. Here's how I know I'm wrong. When my wife looks at me a certain way,
okay,
regardless of what I think is correct, that's when I know I'm wrong, because she's always right.
Here's what's important. Can she hear me?
She probably can't hear you. I know she can hear me.
Okay, but she can't hear me.
No, not unless she's listening to the podcast, which I highly doubt.
Oh, dude. It's very important that you know whether or not she's listening.
The door closed. I can't see in there.
This was my former boss. This is important to me. What she thinks about me is important to me. I listen to what you say more than to what she says.
Mm.
Okay.
I won't tell.
Okay, don't tell her, man. So anyway, I'm looking for a balanced Right Answer podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm looking for is tomorrow
okay.
night at 6 p.m.
Oh, she must have heard you. She just came through the door.
Oh, shoot. Oh, no. No, no, no.
No, she walked right by you.
Oh, God, thank God. Isn't that something, man? It's been 2 years, and she's still my boss.
She knows something's up, I can tell you that, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no, no. 5 minutes to go, and I blew the podcast.
We're both in trouble.
She'll never hire me again. She'll never hire me. Anyway, so here's the thing. So the Right Answer podcast, and I think this is important. It's not just a plug for the show. My son and my son-in-law, we get together, and it is an example of what it might sound like if you're talking with friends and family around a table about political ideas. And I know you're not supposed to talk about that. You're not supposed to talk about politics or religion. We don't talk about religion, but we do talk about politics. Okay?
Okay.
You didn't get any of that because you're listening to your wife. I know exactly what was going on. I know those facial cues. Did you get that?
I got the fact that you talk about politics.
No, shoot, man. It's about the idea of talking about politics. What it might sound like if you had friends and family talking around a table about what's going on.
Yep, got it.
It is not balanced. My son...
ours at when we do that, it's not balanced, no.
Okay, but here's the thing. My son-in-law is a little bit more right than I am. Just a smidgen in the idea of do unto others as you would do unto you. God, 3 minutes is not enough time left. My son is, I would say, right or left of center, quite a few notches. Not to the point of, oh, my God, what are you doing? But left of center. I think you would balance it off. I would love to have you on the Right Answer podcast. Is that something that is possible?
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Okay, so with the 3 minutes left, I'm going to tell you what you need to prepare for tomorrow. For those of you listening, the Right Answer podcast airs at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, on Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow, here's what you do. You pick 3 news stories that are newsworthy to you.
Okay.
You got that?
I got it.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all if they're newsworthy to us. It is the whole idea. Now, I'm going to tell you this. My son is not an idiot. So... You got to know your story.
All right.
I'm going to give you, with the 2 minutes left, I'm going to give you some of the topics that we've hit over the last 3 weeks. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Black Lives Matter. White privilege. And the George Floyd verdict. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to come into the Right Answer podcast with... Because here's what I know about you. You are a good and decent person. And I want you to throw all of that away. I want you to speak your mind and defend your beliefs. Can you do that for me, Ben?
I can do it. I got it.
Is that something that you'd be willing to do? I think you would be an incredible... Oh, see, there you go. It's not enough time. Is that something you'd be willing to do?
Yeah, we can do it.
Ben Lawson, everybody's heard it right now. Tomorrow, the Right Answer podcast, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. You've been listening to A Misanthropic Detour. We are going to do everything that we possibly can until Benton says we can't to find – here it comes. Ready? 1 minute. See, there she is. We're going to find – do everything that we possibly can to make this happen. Join us tomorrow if you want to continue this conversation. Benton, is there anything you want to add? 90 minutes is not enough, dude. I could have talked for 3 hours, and maybe next week we can.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, we just need to make it a habit and continue.
It's absolutely.
So we can keep up with one another and not have, you know, 2 years in between the last time we talked for any length of time.
It's not going to happen again. Misanthropic Detour. Catch us, misanthropicdetour at gmail.com. Misanthropic Detour on Facebook. We will see you next Wednesday if it works out. Then. Dude, I don't care what you say.